This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's the best of the best, but can City be crowned back-to-back Champions League winners this season? If not, who is the biggest threat to their crown? It's Thursday the 14th of March. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Ollie McCool.
And I'm Ollie Kirsch.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe.
Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. On the topic of crowns, we've got two conspiracy theorists with us to discuss the Kate Middleton news. Ollie Kirsch, this has to go through legal first, so be careful. But where is Kate Middleton?
I think Kate Middleton had an operation back in December. And during her recuperation, she developed a crippling addiction to the Elder Scrolls Skyrim. She is just about to acquire the Dragonborn armor and is absolutely refusing to leave her room until she has done so.
Bravo. Ollie McCool, can you top that?
No, I can't top that. Imagine that. I mean, it's who knows? I'm going to assume that she's just, you know, decided to disappear out of... She's finally realised the shame of being a royal and has completely disappeared. You know, she's realised, oh, God, I've picked the wrong man. I'm in the wrong family. And now she's just hiding away to be uncovered at a later date. And when we all find out that it's all been a ruse for the last 20 years and we're living in a simulation, I don't know. Can be anything, could it?
Could be. What if she's just got so sick of seeing Julian Alvarez play out of position? She's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this anymore. No, it is. I mean, global listeners, not from the UK, might be thinking, what on earth are you speaking about? But it has been quite the topic of conversation throughout this week. And obviously, with no match week, no match day in the middle of the week, then why not start the show with a little bit of royal conspiracy theory? Let's get on to the main topic of today's show, because I want to preview what would be tomorrow's Champions League quarterfinal draw. Obviously, we're in the last 16 now. Ollie Kirsch, we've seen all but two of the ties decided. For full clarity, listeners, we're recording this on the Wednesday afternoon. We've still got PSV versus Borussia Dortmund and Inter Milan versus Atletico Madrid to come. But I'd say, just off the top of my head, bar maybe Inter Milan, but they've got a tough test, all of the potential candidates to win have played and gone through. And looking at the last day, it could be quite a spicy draw.
Yeah, there's Yeah, I feel like it's going to be one of those that's it happened last season or the season before. I think it was last season where one side of the bracket is really tough. You're talking maybe Inter, City, Arsenal, Madrid. And then one side's that little bit easier. But to be honest, there aren't that many low-quality sides left, relatively speaking, low-quality. It really is a vintage, it's shaping up to be a vintage Champions League quarterfinal pot.
It is, isn't it? Which I think is interesting, Ollie McCall, considering all of the discourse after the last 16 and obviously Man United getting dumped out in the group stages, had all of them moaning, the Champions League isn't what it used to be. There's no Juventus, hashtag cheats, none of that round here. And obviously no United and those sort of those somewhat legacy clubs have fallen off. But you're looking at it, and this is my prediction for the last two games. I think Borussia Dortmund and Inter Milan go through. But that would mean Real Madrid, PSG, Bayern, Barca, City, Arsenal join them. You've got, what is it, two teams in there, should that be the case. No, one team who have never won the competition. And that's obviously, oh no, sorry, PSG, so it's two teams who've never won the competition. We're talking of legacy teams. That's about as good as you can get.
Yeah, I almost do believe that this is one of the best kind of stages of the Champions League we've had for a while, you know, in terms of, you know, there's a couple of teams who do have a real chance of, you know, doing something special in PSG and Atleti. I mean, PSG always are going to be in that conversation to win it. And then there's, you know, and there's a bunch of teams there that haven't won it, you know, a couple of recent winners, obviously with Bayern, us, and Real. Barca are obviously on the hunt, and they could do something special. I mean, I don't think anyone's expecting it outside of the delusional online Barca fans, but you do just never know.
You suggesting that there is non-delusional online Barca fans? Because I thought they were just the same.
Well, you know, I kind of consider them the same as, you know, the lucky one that is Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. You know, how on earth they got through 120 minutes against Porto and the 41-year-old Pepe, who's still just, I would say, one of the better defenders in Europe at the moment still, frankly, for his age especially. It's a really interesting draw. I remember when the draw came out and it was a lot of the Man United fans and, you know, these old, you know, who suddenly believe that the Champions League stopped being interesting after 2011, after they lost it for the second time to Barcelona. You know, it is interesting that, you know, so many people say, oh, this is such a boring Champions League. And then we're looking at it and we could get some absolutely classic matchups here. You know, we're going to talk about the potential matchups that we could get. But I mean, there's going to have to be some fearless competition in the next few rounds of the Champions League. And obviously last year of this format, it's going out with a bit of a bang, I think.
I do want to touch on sort of just before we go for the break, the draw, because obviously news this week that this will be the last Champions League draw until next year's knockout rounds with the computer taking over. But we in part two, we will map out City's potential route, best case, worst case, Dolly. So maybe not so much focusing on that, but I just want to speak about some of the contenders and sort of where your fear levels lie. And let's start with the semi-finalists last year with City, obviously Real Madrid, and that absolutely incredible performance and maintained probably the best half of football ever, if not the best 90 minutes of football ever in the second leg for City. Do you think they've got better? Do you think they've got worse? Are you more fearful? Are you less fearful? Do you think it would be a repeat? Or, in my opinion, do you think they'd sort of, Real Madrid this is, would go out there trying to avenge that pretty humiliating defeat against City?
I think given the change in personnel that we've had over the summer makes us less capable of completely and utterly spanking them like we did last year.
Yeah.
Chiefly the loss of Gundogan, Mahrez as well, major contributor in the Champions League knockout stages. Madrid themselves, probably, I mean, they've had a bit of an up and down season, haven't they? They've been a little bit consistent for a while. They were chasing Girona and but I wouldn't say they are, from where I'm standing, much better or worse than last season. I think the main difference is us. Obviously, they have picked up Jude Bellingham, which is massive for them, especially he's a big game player. And he's a big character. Would I be concerned about Madrid? More so than last year, yes.
Okay.
Because I don't think we're capable of doing to them what we did. Would I still back us to go through? Yes. But, you've always got that thing lingering there, haven't you? Real Madrid in the Champions League.
Mm.
They're capable of anything.
Yeah, what is it, 14 times winners now? And I was looking through the winners list the other day, and I think Milan is second on 7, then obviously Liverpool are there, Bayern Munich. It's just crazy the fact that Real Madrid have double the amount of the second best team, it goes to show. Although you go back and look at some of their early European Cup wins, and let's just say dodgy nonetheless. Again, no cheating around these parts.
It was easier back then. It's probably worth having this conversation, because I was chatting about this to a Liverpool fan. If you go back and look at the period before they changed the format of the Champions League, i.e. when it was only the champions that got in, there were several winners on the bounce. Liverpool, I think, won it two or three times on the trot. Nottingham Forest won it a couple of times on the trot. Madrid won it 5 times on the trot or something. It was easier, plain and simple.
Yeah.
It was easier. Yeah, yeah. Because if you look now, no team wants to draw City or Arsenal. And that is a consequence of having the top four qualify.
Yeah.
If you go back then, you were only dealing with City.
Mm.
So as much as these teams might not like to admit it, your Forests, your Liverpools, your Madrids, etc., it was an easier competition back then, plain and simple.
Yeah.
So I think I don't want to do down what Madrid did back in the day. And I know you say it's a little bit dodgy, but the competition was easier. And I think, unlike in the Premier League, you know, people say it shouldn't count less after 92. The Champions League probably should count less before 92.
I think that's a fair assessment. And obviously, I think it was only recently the likes of Scotland and the Netherlands actually got an automatic group stage qualification spot before sort of 2019 or something like that. They had to go through loads of qualifying rounds. So yeah, it is a bit skewed to the bigger leagues, but you know, we know what this is. Ollie McCall, just quickly, Bayern Munich, obviously another team City dealt with last year, and I think we go back 12 months when that quarterfinal, semi-final path was being mapped out for City. We're thinking, oh my God, for the one time, can we just have, I don't know, Benfica or Inter Milan, or obviously got Inter Milan in the final, or AC Milan, etc. It actually kind of worked out for City, but Bayern Munich are another one who have been majorly inconsistent this year. They've absolutely bombed it out of the Bundesliga title race, although quietly I still think they might win it because it's Bayern Munich and Bayer Leverkusen have got a history of sort of bottling it, a little bit like a certain club in our league as well. But Harry Kane is a big addition, and I think he's going to be a threat in these last rounds.
Well, yeah, I mean, Harry Kane is a fantastic player. He's a world-class striker, but we've also got our own world-class striker. I came on this podcast when the draw came out last year saying I'm really excited about playing Bayern Munich. I'm really excited about the potential of facing these bigger teams because it's going to give City an advantage if they get to the final. And I think it did. You know, they, even though Inter Milan were fantastic on that night, City were well prepared for that game because of the two teams they came through. And if the same is to happen this year, I can see a similar thing happening. Bayern Munich, they've kind of been a bit like us this season, very inconsistent. But there's still real potential for greatness there. But I just think we're a better side. We're a better coach side. We're a better tactical side. We're less reliant on singular performances from the likes of a Harry Kane. You know, we went without Erling Haaland for what, 6 weeks, 2 months, and you know, stumbled over ourselves a couple of times, but we got through it in the end. I think we've got better all round players. You know. I think the only issue with Bayern is you look at their kind of their pace out wide, and you know, City did an admirable job of handling Leroy Sané last year, and if the Leroy Sané that many City fans all say come back, be here again, Leroy, shows up, then it could be a more interesting tie. But I just think City are too strong for a team like Bayern. Pep Guardiola will be all over their inconsistencies. You know, the set piece. Geniuses that we have, they'll all be figuring out the new routines now that someone's finally told the team they can finally score from corners again and free kicks. So yeah, I'd have faith in us against anyone, but against the team at Bayern Munich, I don't worry about it. But you've got to respect them. You've got to respect them a little bit more than you would say. You know, I don't want to just insult Copenhagen, but you know, we did deal with them pretty well. I think we'd handle Bayern Munich. I think we'd handle them.
Yeah.
You don't want to say no problem, but I think we'd handle them much easier than a lot of people would make out at the draw stage.
I want to just quickly move on to Ollie Kirsch before we go to the break. for my money, probably the third best team. I don't know, in fact, Inter Milan are there, but we know at this point we don't know if Inter Milan are going to go through. Basically, Arsenal are a team who have popped up and obviously they scraped past Porto in borderline embarrassing fashion in a way, but also in the fact that obviously it was 14 years since he last got through to this stage of the Champions League, and sometimes you just have to overcome that hurdle. Again, we'll come to our sort of least and most preferred pass of the draw in part two, but they're a team, I think, just for City's sanity, it'd be best to avoid them.
Yeah, we don't want domestic competition in the Champions League. We've not had much success with domestic opponents in the past, notoriously Spurs, Liverpool and Chelsea. For some reason, it just doesn't work out for us. It should. I think every time, maybe with the exception of Liverpool, when we played Spurs and when we played Chelsea, we absolutely were a better team than them. But much like the discussion we had about the Anfield effect.
Exactly, I was going to say that, yeah.
We seem to have a blocker with domestic sides in Europe. My initial reaction last night to Arsenal going through to you lot was, I do think they are capable of knocking us out. I do not think they are capable of going all the way and winning it, which is funny because many will see us as the best side left in the competition.
I agree.
So my preference would be to avoid them as long as possible because I do believe sooner or later they will be knocked out. I'm not sure they would potentially be capable of overcoming a night at the Bernabeu or a night at the Allianz. Not sure they've quite got that maturity yet, which took us years to build. Isn't a slight on them. We've seen it. We've experienced this.
Can I make a comparison
really
that I think I'm seeing with Arsenal? A little bit like that Tottenham team that made the final, where they get to the big, big game in that final and they shat themselves, basically, against Liverpool. Because that's when the pressure was. But going against City, and they had Ajax at the time, didn't they? Who were in a similar boat. Obviously, they do have the European prestige and heritage, but it was a very, very, very young team. I would imagine Arsenal could take a scalp against City, but like you say, if they go into a big game, the lights are shining bright, the pressure's on, possibly a bit harder.
I want to give them more credit than that. I want to give them, because I think Spurs were just kind of happy to be there in the final.
True.
I'm not sure they truly had the quality to deserve that spot, which again is harsh, but I don't think Spurs looked to anyone like a Champions League winning team from a quality perspective. Arsenal are in a three-way title race with City and Liverpool. They were in a title race last season. They've now earned their spot in the quarterfinals. I would liken Arsenal more to the earlier days of City in the Champions League, where they probably do, well, they definitely do have the quality to be competing at the latter stages or even in the final. But yeah, they might shit the bed when the lights are bright, the stages, you know, the minutes, the clock's ticking on, and they're looking up at some European superstars in front of them. That's where I think they may fall down, but I absolutely do not want to face them.
I think you've got to look at how Arsenal have performed in the Champions League separately to how they're doing in the title race. Because you look at their Champions League form, it's a little bit shakier. They had a very easy group by all standards. They were easily the clear favourite in that group. And, you know, there were a couple of performances where they didn't do too well. They go to Porto. Yes, Porto are a tough team to play. You know, City have faced them a couple of times. We know how tough they are. But at the same time, you know, they lost in the first leg, and then they had to scrape through on penalties, as we've said, in embarrassing fashion in the second leg. If they come up against a Real Madrid in the quarterfinals, especially if they're at the Bernabeu first, I think this Real Madrid could blow them away in that first leg and then make that second leg a near impossibility. I think the same thing, as we've said, Bayern Munich. I even think, you know, if Inter Milan were to go through, or, you know, we're looking at a team who could just pummel them, you know. And that's the thing, and it's a very good comparison to the early Abu Dhabi years for City. City were a very, very good team domestically. They competed and then competed and competed, but you put them in the Champions League and they just weren't ready for it at all, despite having
maturity, isn't it?
Yeah, despite having players who played at the top level in the Champions League, like Sergio Aguero, like Carlos Tevez, they just weren't ready for it. And I just think we're seeing something like that with Arsenal this season. But yeah, we probably want to stay away from them, you know, just because of that familiarity.
I think that's fair. I will say, though, it isn't necessarily about how you win in this competition. It's winning. And beating Porto, yes, it was sketchy and they had plenty of flaws, but they're in the hat, basically. And as we'll get to in part two, if that draw opens up for them, then Jesus Christ, they could be booking the... Well, you don't book a hotel in London if you're an Arsenal fan, do you? You're at Wembley anyway, but they could be booking the tickets.
Just very quickly before the break, Amos, this is what we're saying, though, about the quality of the draw. I'm not sure it can open up for them. The only way this draw, the way it's shaping up, could open up is for them to get one of PSV or...
Save it, because this is what we're going
I'm
to
talking
imagine.
From an Arsenal perspective. Yes, but I'll hold my tongue.
Yeah, I just want anybody want to make a case for any of the other teams in there. I think, you know, too long didn't read. We could probably say City are better than PSG, Dortmund, Inter Milan are worthy of a mention. But at the time of recording, we don't know if they're through. So we'll kind of cross that bridge when we come to it, because it could be Atleti, etc., etc. But I think they're a top team, and you want to stay away from them as well. But PSG, Barca, any of them going to win it? Yes, no.
I could see Barca, you know, having a magical run like we've known them to do. But I think the fact that they're not at the Camp Nou is a huge disadvantage for them. The fact they're at the old Olympic Stadium, I think, is a massive home disadvantage for them, because both teams going there are going to feel like away teams. You know, it's not been a full stadium. They're not going to have that same atmosphere that they got on the La Romontada a few years ago. A team like City could turn to there and absolutely pummel them. But, you know, it could lead to some interesting ties if you keep City out of it. You know, maybe we get an El Clasico draw and all hell breaks loose. You know, but we're going to come on to this in the second half anyway.
Yeah. For sure. Listeners, stay exactly where you are. In part two, we'll be predicting the best and the worst case draws in tomorrow's draw, Champions League quarterfinal.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. I did tease a little bit earlier on that we'd chat about the new format for the draw. Just ran out of time, unfortunately, so maybe we'll shelve that and talk about it when it comes back around next season, if not beforehand. Okay, best and worst case draws. Let's do the easy one first. Let's do the best case scenario for City, and let's start with the quarterfinal. And I think, does anybody want to, and this is going to sound really stupid tomorrow morning when it is PSV and it is Atletico, but are we in agreement that it's probably Inter and it's probably going to be Dortmund going through? I think by Inter, you're probably looking at a similar level team there, i.e. a team you'd probably want to draw at Inter, you know, as we've said, they could be great. They could be out. You know, who knows? But basically, Oli Kirsch, quarterfinal for City. Who's the best case?
Best case in case of raw efficiency, i.e., the team we are most likely to beat. Yeah, if they go through PSV or Dortmund on paper, the team I would most like to play. So, I think very beatable and a whole lot of fun on the way is Barcelona.
I've got the same.
Yeah, Barca. I mean, you've got the Pep narrative coming back, give his old club a beating. You've got the issues that we've had with the slander thrown our way from La Liga and from various club presidents. You've got Chancelo thrown there in the mix as well. There are a lot of narratives going on here. And I just love the chance. And I don't think it would be... We would be expected to win, right? I'm not going to say, yes, we will beat Barca. That would be incredibly stupid of me. But if you were to split these teams into beatable and could really cause us some problems, I think most of us would probably put Barca in the beatable pot. So if we're just not interested in having any fun or narratives and we want the best chance of going through, PSV or Dortmund... If we want to have a bit of a party on the way, Barcelona.
Yeah, I think Barca, the team, I've got them as my preferred quarterfinal. I think it would depend on whether or not City blow them away, which way the legs fall. You know, it kind of requires City to go 3-0 up in the first leg and then maybe just take the foot off the gas in the second leg if it was away from home. But I think if City are at home second, dear me, and you know, there's something on the line there, we could be talking about an absolute row. Ollie McCall, are you with us? Are we going to Catalonia for the quarterfinal? And if so, which quarterfinal pairing would you like City put up against in the semis if we were to make it that far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement. It would be, Barcelona has to be the preferred one here. I think you want, you know, for all the many years of City failing the Champions League, the one thing I actually do want to see them, I want to see them taking on these slightly bigger teams, partly because there's more narrative around them, as you just said, Ollie. You know, the constant chat that we've had to put up with from the Spanish press about City and about Pep. And in the last few years, Bernardo. Just imagine how good a Bernardo goal against Barcelona, knocking them out the Champions League will feel. It would be incredible. So, yeah, but Barcelona, absolutely. On the opposing side, that's when you have to be a bit more kind of ruthless efficiency. You know, the winner of that Dortmund-PSV tie versus, I'm going to throw it out there, PSG. I think PSG...
That's exactly what I've got.
They're incredibly beatable. You know, yes, Mbappe is fantastic. Yes, Mbappe is one of the best players in the world. Will probably go down as if not the player of this generation. But we've dealt with them before. We've dealt with them, a couple of years in a row now in the Champions League. Mm. We know Pep knows how to beat them. You know, Luis Enrique's done an okay job there. He's done what all PSG coaches do. So I'd love to... If you know, semi-finals PSG, get them on the way. It's another big team out the way, you know, that confidence, momentum, and then see whatever the other side of the draw pulls up.
Ollie McCall, you cannot ask for us to play PSG and Mbappe and at the same time say Kyle Walker should not be starting. That is absolutely, that of all the draws apart from Madrid with Vinny Jr. as we saw last season, that is the one draw we are going to need Kyle Walker in that starting 11. So make a choice, Sunshine. You can't.
That's the only game he's going to play for now between the end of the season.
That is it. Away leg at the Parc des Princes. Kyle Walker, get yourself in the starting lineup, mate. Home tight, cans you, mate. Get out to right back.
I think that makes sense, though, doesn't it? PSG Dortmund is probably the semi-final you would want to play if City got Barca, and that leaves, what is it, Inter, Real Madrid, Bayern and Arsenal, probably four of the top five seeds on the opposite side of the draw. That'd be ideal. It's probably not going to happen, but that would be ideal. This is the crux of it, though, isn't it, Ollie Kirsch? The harder draw, the worst case scenario, because I think, I'll give you mine first. And I think it'd be worse for City to play Arsenal in the quarterfinal than it would be for them to meet in the semi-final, because I think City would have a better chance of beating Arsenal in the semis when the carrot is being dangled of a trip to Wembley for the Champions League final in front of them. Quarterfinal, you're just about, it's further enough away just for it to be out of their minds for now, and I think that could cause City problems. So my worst case scenario would be Arsenal in the quarters.
You've put that very diplomatically. The way I would put it is the later we face them, the more likely they are to shit their pants.
Well, if Declan Rice's short situation is to be believed, maybe they already have.
You're right. You are right. Arsenal are amongst the worst case, but certainly for the quarters. The later on that we go, we've been there now. We've done it. We know what it takes. So if we are going to play them, later is preferable. Other than Arsenal, you lot, I mean, I don't really watch Serie A, but you lot have scared the life out of me with Inter Milan. Because all I'm seeing right now when we chat about this is Inter a class. We don't want Inter, you know, they're a far better team than we played last season. So I'll throw them in there because I trust you lot. Other than that, I would quite like to avoid Madrid. But the only team I really don't want is Arsenal. Plus, as I said, Inter, courtesy of you lot. Chuck Madrid in there, but I don't think it'd be a huge. You know, I wouldn't be scared of a Madrid tie, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But you know, listen, we're fortunate enough to be good enough that we can look at any tie and say we should still be going through, no matter who it is, because we are capable of being, and we have been that good. So there are best case and worst case in my book, but I think whoever we do get, it is going to be a case of bring it on. You know, we're capable. And we'll certainly be the bookies' favourites, whoever we get. So, yeah, I think we've just got to take it as it comes. It would be nice to get an easier tie in the quarters, so we're two games away. But if not, whatever, we know what we're capable of, and we can progress and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ali?
Yeah, I mean, if this was a movie, they'd be setting it up for Pep Guardiola to, you know, take on. You know, there's so many narratives for Pep personally here. And, you know, with the kind of never ending but seemingly quiet talk about when he might go, when he might step down. You know, he joked if he did the treble back to back, he'd retire then and there. And I've come on this podcast and said, I think if Pep was to do that, he'd go on the night and say, no, that's me. I've done everything I need to here. So a tie, like getting Real Madrid in the final, would be quite enticing for that. For the you know, the media and the press, and they'd all love it. But yeah, for me, I don't necessarily fear any of these teams left. You know, at the end of the day, this is also the benefit of being the current holders. You know, we can still say, well, we had a fantastic run. We beat Bayern Munich, we beat Real Madrid, then we beat Inter Milan. You know, and Inter Milan, any team that gets rid of Andre Onana are inevitably going to improve anyway. After some of his shocking goalkeeping in the last few seasons, I just had to get that dig in there. But yeah, I don't really fear any of these teams. You know, yes, Arsenal are a concern, and I think we can all agree. You know, getting them in the quarterfinals wouldn't be the best type of City at all. Getting them in the semis, it would be more interesting. But also, I'd love to see them just get absolutely hammered by a Real Madrid. You know, just for my own personal entertainment. I think, you know, I'd just love to see them and their fan base humbled by one of the absolute giants of European football, whether that be Bayern, whether that be even Barca pulling something out of the hat, whether that be Real Madrid just absolutely tearing them apart and killing off their title race hopes because they're all too sad about it. But yeah, there's no fear factor there. I think there probably would be more if we hadn't faced Real Madrid so many times in the last few years. You know, we faced them three times.
Especially winning last year.
Yeah.
I think had City had a last 16 quarterfinal, semi-final run of, I don't know, Leipzig, Benfica, AC Milan, and beaten Inter in the final, you probably look at it going, okay, can they do it against the big guys? But the fact they have played Bayern, Real Madrid, and obviously Inter in the final is a big one.
Yeah, and I mean, you go back to 1920, you know, beating them, yes, with a three-month gap in the middle, but City still beat them in both legs of that tie, you know, with a very different squad, a very weak squad compared to what it has been over the last couple of years. So Real Madrid inevitably went on. I think they won the Liga that year, if I'm not mistaken. And they've been a very strong team every time we face them. And I don't think they're ridiculously stronger than they were last season, even with Jude Bellingham. I think they're stronger, but I don't think they're anything new to fear. And at the end of the day, we faced Jude Bellingham many times at Dortmund, and he's scored against City once or twice now. Incredible player, as we all know. But this is the benefit of being Manchester City. This is the benefit of having Pep Guardiola. This is the benefit of having Erling Haaland. There's no Kevin De Bruyne or Phil Foden, whoever else you want to throw in there. We are just that good, where other teams are coming here and thinking, oh, we've got to face Manchester City. That's big. That's a horrible tie. I don't want to come on here and be all, oh, we're definitely winning the Champions League again. It's definitely happening. We're lifting the title again. But you just never know. Well, what could happen on the other side of that draw could end up costing us in the final, or it could end up being an absolute blessing. If we knock out a Barca or a PSG on our side, then we face, you know, Inter again, or if we face Bayern or whoever. It could just be a really, really fun draw. And I think especially for the neutrals, they're going to love these knockouts in the Champions League, because it just looks to be fun ties no matter how it turns out.
Yeah, I think we've kind of ticked all boxes there. Finally, my sort of worst case map would be Arsenal in the quarterfinal, Real Madrid, Bayern in the other quarterfinal on City side, and then Inter in the opposite side, because I reckon City could probably do Inter across two legs, but get them in a one-off final again, probably going to cause some problems. But Ollie Kirsch, thank you very much. We await all of our theories to be debunked, both Kate Middleton and Champions League draws on Friday afternoon or at a later date. But yeah, I enjoyed that. It was fun.
It was. Thank you very much.
Ollie McCool, likewise. I'm going to pin up that. I'm going to send that that inspirational chat then to the dressing room ahead of any potential quarterfinals in the Champions League and semi-finals, etc. And hopefully that will see us across the line with back-to-back wins.
Well, it's better than any Carl Walker speeches in the dressing room could be, isn't it?
and that is officially pretty much everyone pissed off from this episode.
Thank you very much. That's my job here.
Vintage. Yeah, vintage McCool there. Listeners, thank you very much. Let us know who you think the best and worst case draws will be on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever you follow us on social media. But until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season running with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.